a continuation of the reading of the book, New England Revivals. An account of a revival of religion in Granville, Massachusetts, in the year 1798 and 1799, by the Reverend Timothy M. Cooley. For a few months previous to the late revival, it was a time of very great stupidity. The wise and the foolish slumbered together. Our youth had become much addicted to sinful diversions. In one of their scenes of amusement, God was pleased to frown upon them in a very awful manner. While they were engaged in their thoughtless recreations, two young men were seized violently ill and carried out of the ball chamber. A young woman, in consequence of a cold which she took on the same evening, was in a very short time taken with a fever and delirium and brought to the brink of the grave. She afterwards recovered and became a hopeful subject of divine grace. One of the young men before mentioned, after a short illness, died. This unhappy youth, being told by his weeping mother that he was dying, replied with his expiring breath, "Oh, I cannot die. I am unprepared." These alarming dispensations of divine providence rendered the minds of the young people solemn and gave a check to their sinful pleasures. Many were then convinced of the danger and criminality of those amusements which they once esteemed innocent. In the spring of the year 1798, professors were much awakened and ardently desired a revival of religion. Christian parents were anxious for their children, and it was common to hear pious people in conversation breathing out their earnest desires for the effusions of the Spirit. There was a visible engagedness among professors, and many, like Simeon of old, were waiting for the consolation of Israel. I invited a number of the youth into my study and urged upon them the necessity of the one thing needful. This is a very solemn meeting and will probably be long remembered by some who were present. On the second Sabbath in June, a very plain sermon was preached from Ezekiel 37, verse 3, which was blessed to the awakening of a number of secure sinners. In the evening, a conference was attended which exhibited evident marks of unusual seriousness. The next Sabbath evening, a conference was attended, and many appeared to feel the weight of truth at the heart. The next Tuesday, a number of young people met for a civil visit, and a violin was introduced, which instead of producing the usual hilarity, occasioned a flood of tears. The work of the Spirit, which had been for several days concealed, now burst forth. It could be no longer concealed. It was found that numbers had, for some time, felt a very serious concern for their future well-being, and thought they were alone in it, being ignorant of the feelings and resolutions of others. Two young persons, who had been very active in the follies of youth, mutually agreed to begin a new life, little suspecting that a number of their companions had secretly formed the same resolution. The glorious work spread with surprising rapidity through the parish. There was suddenly a noise among the dry bones. Christians were animated. Sinners were awakened, and scoffers were struck silent at the powerful work of the Almighty. There were but very few, whether old or young, who did not experience some serious alarms. It was truly a remarkable season with us, and the most aged had never witnessed the like before. I should give the reader an imperfect idea of that surprising change from apparent thoughtlessness to universal alarm which took place within 2 or 3 weeks. Those who were not at first truly converted were made solemn by what they saw in others and afterwards became the subjects of genuine conversion. The next Sabbath the assembly appeared almost as solemn as if that day were to close their earthly existence. The assembly, though crowded, was almost as still as a burying ground. Our meetings were distinguished for a still, solemn, listening attention to the word, and the audience hung upon the lips of the speaker as if they realized that their all for eternity was at stake. The rapidity of the work must be ascribed primarily to the all-conquering influences of the Holy Spirit, but it is worthy of notice that most of the inhabitants of this place are descendants of 5 or 6 families. There is consequently a great degree of friendship and intimacy among them, and a striking similarity in their feelings, manners, and sentiments. Those who were first impressed communicated their feelings and resolutions to their relatives of a similar age and urged them to join with them in living a new life. These private warnings were a means of spreading the work. Their views and feelings, while under conviction, were as follows. They encouraged themselves that, by a few weeks' seriousness and diligence in duties, they should prepare themselves for regeneration. After persevering a while in these external duties, they thought their prayers and cries had been sufficient to prevail with God to show mercy. They secretly found fault with God for withholding His grace. The heart rose against divine sovereignty. Some thought hard of God for giving comfort to others while He denied it to them. The enmity of the heart rose up like a venomous serpent against the Almighty. Such exercises as these discovered to them the total depravity of their hearts. They felt convinced that the garment of self-righteousness, which was so pleasing to them, covered a heart full of opposition to God's character. They were before convinced that they had been guilty of many outward acts of sin, but now they saw something of the fountain of pollution within. They were convinced that they had never prayed, read, or cried as God required. They still persevered in duties, but seemed, as they expressed it, to grow worse and worse. They discovered that God's law justly condemned them, and that they must be rescued by sovereign mercy or suffer its awful sanction. The views and exercises of those who obtained a hope were as follows. There was a great diversity as to the manner in which divine light was led into the mind, and at the same time a wonderful similarity in their feelings after the admission of true light. Some obtained relief by a view of the glory and excellency of Christ. He appeared to be the chiefest among 10,000 and altogether lovely. Others were led to see the excellency of the gospel plan and its fitness for sinners. Others felt a happy and joyful submission to God as a sovereign, and were willing to be entirely in His hands. When God's time had come to show mercy, their opposition was subdued. They felt willing to be wholly in the hands of that God who hath mercy on whom He will have mercy. They had new views of God, of the Savior, of the Bible, and of Christian people. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things had become new. They felt a sweet calmness of mind, but in most instances had not a thought at the time of it that what they experienced was regeneration. It was sometimes several days before they dared to hope they were new creatures. They rejoiced with fear. In many instances, a hope was obtained and gradually confirmed by comparing themselves with the Word, and finding a degree of that submission and disinterested love which characterized those who were born again. The work of the Spirit in this place has been remarkably free from enthusiasm and confusion. There have been no instances of very great distress or outcries under convictions, nor of enthusiastic rants of joy after receiving comfort. The work was mild. This revival of religion has been productive of these happy effects. The Bible has been studied, family prayer revived, the instruction of children promoted, the sanctuary crowded, and the distinguishing doctrines of the gospel more thoroughly studied and understood. Zion's God has discovered His sovereignty as well as His mercy among us. Some of the most gay and thoughtless have become hopeful converts, while others who were more sober and moral were passed by. Some have been hopefully newborn who were educated in irreligious, prayerless families, while others were passed by who enjoyed a pious education. But it must be confessed that those who had been religiously educated were more generally the subjects of special grace. Within 1 year after the beginning of the awakening, upwards of 50 united with the church. Others have since been added. And about 20 more, mostly young people, have obtained a hope in this season of refreshing, and by a sober life they give evidence of a real change, but through prevailing doubts and diffidence have not dared to make a public profession. In some instances, almost whole families fled to the ark of safety. In one family I found 7 or 8, and in others 5 or 6, who thought they could rejoice in God. We had the pleasing sight of 4 sisters offering themselves to Christian baptism and unite with the church. It is now about 3 years since the beginning of this glorious work, and I can give a more ample testimony to its genuineness than I could have done in months that are past. By their fruits ye shall know them. Many who receive slight impressions have become like the seed which fell on stony places, and as some who entertained a hope that they were renewed, it has happened according to the true proverb, 2 Peter 2:22, and with great concern we may conclude that their last state is worse than the first, seeing they crucify unto themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. But those who have made a profession of religion, and a number of others who have not professed publicly, appear to be steadfast and unmovable, and their conversation is in a good measure agreeable to the gospel. There may be tares among the wheat. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Nearly one half who have lately become professors are in youth. They have cheerfully relinquished their formal sinful amusements and have often declared that they have enjoyed more real happiness in one religious meeting than in all their past follies and sinful mirth. They in general appear to be ornaments to their profession, and by their presence at our sacramental table render the communion a very delightful duty. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The repentance of a number of Christless sinners in this place has doubtless given joy to angels and saints above. And we trust that a goodly number will praise God to eternity for what they have experienced in this revival of religion. The Lord has brought them up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set their feet upon a rock. And he has put a new song into their mouth, even praise to the living God. End quote. End of chapter 7. From the book New England Revivals by Bennett Tyler.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.